Hey guys, you're listening to episode 96 of the Finish Line Podcast, where we discuss the intersection of faith, generosity, and personal finance. My name is Cody, and I'm here with my co-host and brother, Keelan. Today we're talking to Pat and Janelle Hoard, owners of Hoard Family Farms in Ohio. Pat and Janelle developed a passion for generosity early on, but God has led them through increasing levels of thoughtfulness and complexity with regards to what exactly that looks like. They have navigated the challenges of running a large farming enterprise across multiple states with a mindset that God owns it all. They have a passion for loving their coworkers well, loving their community well, and bringing the gospel to the rest of the world. You don't want to miss all they had to share. Before we get started, I just wanted to ask one big favor of you guys. If you've been listening to the show for some time and want to support what we're doing, one very easy and free way to do that is to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Just write whatever you like about the show, and you'll help others find us. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show so you're the first to know when new episodes come out. And with that, let's get to the interview. Well, we are excited to have Pat and Janelle Hoard joining us today. Guys, thank you so much for taking some time to share with us.
Sure. Hey, Pat. We're honored to be here.
Can you each just take a couple minutes and share a little bit more about your spiritual background and a little bit about your upbringing?
Sure. Pat and I actually met in high school. I grew up on a farm and one of two children. My dad was a very firm believer in boys doing farm work, so I tended to do the jobs that others didn't get to do. Grew up in church and didn't really give my life to Christ until I was 13. And then really became rooted in my Christian faith as about 18 years old and haven't looked back.
Yeah, so we, as Janelle shared, we kind of each have grown up in the same community. We didn't really know each other. We were only about 3 or 4 miles apart. And then we got into high school and our schools are a county school and we were in different parts of the county. And then I moved and then so I was close to her and then we went into high school. And so we still didn't connect together until we hit a tryout for a musical in the high school named Oklahoma. And we were both trying out for the choir or whatever you want to talk about. And so we both ended up with the leads. So I was Curly and she was Lori. And so the rest is kind of history. So we got married fairly soon after that. I was 19, she was 20. And so we've kind of grown up together. So it's been awesome. And we've grown in our faith together. I was saved at a young age in a vacation Bible school, but then started kind of growing and learning. And then her and I have grown together as we've gotten older. So it's been awesome. I wouldn't do it any other way.
No, it's been fun to grow up together and to learn to serve together. And, you know, that's what marriage does. You bring out the best in each other and how God can use you through each other as well to encourage others. So, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what your life looks like, where God has called you as far as career and business and what some of that side of things looks like.
So when I was coming in that time frame, trying to figure out what God had for me and for my life, and it was even before we were married, and I was searching and I kind of felt like maybe God was calling me into some type of full-time Christian ministry or going to Bible school. And yet I had this growing farming environment where my grandfather and my dad had farmed. And so I had this opportunity to do that. And so just kind of wrestling with that. And I was fighting it for a bit. I was like, okay, you know, I have this opportunity. And finally I just surrendered and say, okay, God, if this is what you want, I'll go to Bible school and go, you know, you're going to call me to the depths of Africa, quote, you know, as everybody talks about. But as soon as I did that, it's just like, God, like, okay, I just needed you to surrender to me. And then he's like, now go do what your passion is, kind of that Psalms 37:4, where, you know, it's like, God, I feel like he gives us our desires and our heart, and you know, he just wants us to surrender him. So that's kind of how we got started. Been in our farming occupation all my life. And so I'll let Janelle tell a little bit of that side.
So I actually graduated from The Ohio State University with a degree in education and taught off and on a little bit before our first child was born, Phil was born, and then made the decision then after our fourth child was born to not go back and decided to stay home after Phil was born and taught a year in between there. But I have always said I'll never have that time back with my kids. If I want to go teach someday, I will go teach someday. But we worked hard to be able to allow me to stay home. We didn't have a whole lot. And so it was very important to Pat and I that we choose that road and we're going to do that. So we had that purpose to do that and to raise the kids in church and to just really serve as we felt called. So when I had the opportunity to teach a Bible school or to teach a Sunday school class or midweek service, Awana, I would jump at the chance to be able to do that. Just a little bit of my training, but that was my passion, was to be with children and support them in their knowledge and growing in Christ and choose to take that path and support Pat and his desire to serve at the local church as well.
Yeah, I think that from those perspectives, we just said, you know, hey, our vocation is in farming and we were a team and obviously raising our family. And so, you know, we came at it from a perspective that we're in full-time ministry. We just happen to have another vocation that we're deriving our living from. So that was, I think, formative for us as we went through that time.
Pat and Janelle, I'd love to hear a little bit more about how being part of a family business has transferred knowledge and wisdom to you, especially around how to manage growth and around how to express generosity as you do experience success in your career.
Yeah, it's obviously a journey. Both of our families have a heritage of being Christians, and we've been just fortunate. You know, it's like we always say, we didn't pick to be born. You know, I find fascinating when people become arrogant about some gift they've been given or some ability they have, because everything that we have comes from the hand of God, including, you know, I didn't pick to be born in rural Ohio to a family that was farming, and Janelle's kind of the same way. And so we try to keep a proper perspective that we've just been blessed to be put where we're at and fortunate that our families had that Christian heritage. I had a praying grandmother that told me when I was growing up, and I'd roll my eyes and she'd say, I'm praying for you, Pat. And I'm like, okay, grandma. But that heritage is just fantastic. And so I think we're just blessed to be in that spot. And so it's one of stewardship. You just think about, like, obviously the Bible is filled with that concept of stewardship and many parables and those kind of things. And so, but we live that because we have this time, you know, you kind of look at, we've got this section of time that we're stewarding our family's heritage and farming heritage as well. And how do we do the best job we can for this window? And then realize that we're also thinking about, you know, as we start to hand off to the next generation. So it's a neat process. And I just feel very fortunate to have that opportunity.
I might also add, it's a huge responsibility because our parents, our grandparents, our great grandparents invested much of their life into doing what they did that has been able to be shared then with our parents, which then they're sharing with us today. And hopefully we're sharing with our children and our grandchildren. It's not just the everyday farming that has to happen, but it's also sharing the knowledge of where we've been, where we've come from, and the sacrifices that were made. And that's a huge responsibility that I think we as a family and we as parents, we do need to share that with the next generation and help them understand that what today looks like is not what 20 years ago looked like, or even 50 years ago or 100 years ago. It's just a much different landscape for them today, and it'll be different for their children and their grandchildren.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You know, even 5 or 10 years, things change pretty dramatically these days. So I know generosity is a big part of your lives in multiple ways, and you guys talk about it pretty naturally as like that's the obvious choice you would make, but that's definitely not the default for families, even, you know, among Christian families. So walk us through a little bit about how God planted that foundation in your lives and your family and how that journey has looked over the years.
Well, I think as we reflect back, you know, giving is always was taught to us, I think, you know, is like, and you know, we grew up in church and we tithe and we do these things. And I think that we come from that teaching. I think the interesting part, probably the journey for us, was generosity. You know, I guess the first point is generosity is time, talent, and treasure. And as we talked a minute ago, I've been reading a book by Randy Alcorn, which is Giving is the Good Life, and really great book. But anyways, you know, I could call out many things in that book, but in this context, you know, God owns everything. And so how do we use all those things, that time, talent, and treasure, that we can best steward for him? And so we started feeling called to figure out, how do we not only tithe our personal income, but how do we look at the business and say, well, how do we use this business so it's not just our personal, but, you know, and when I refer to a business, I'm interchanging farming and business today. As you know, farming is continuing to grow and there's less of us. And so we're all just by nature of how it works, we all do more than what our grandfathers and our great grandfathers did. But, and so we're just looking at it and saying, okay, how do we take this and, you know, Janelle is feeling called to tithe off of our business income. And so how do we do that then as our business grew and we got beyond just self-sufficiency? And then we began to have, we call team members, others may call employees, but their team are part of our team and our family team. And so as those numbers grew, it was like, okay, how do we take what God's blessed us with? And so we started out with a checkbook and we said, okay, we're going to get to the end of the year. We're going to look at what our farming enterprise made, and then we're going to take a percentage of that, and then we're going to put that in a checkbook, and then we're going to donate out of that. And that was awesome to start with, but it was a little cumbersome at times. And that led us to a conversation with NCF, and we were able to meet Roger from NCF, and he walked us through very good about how we could use this donor advised fund. And so that's become an awesome tool for us to be able to donate. And it also, what I like about it is it moves it out of here. And then it's like so freeing to say, okay, God, we've placed this over here in this bucket, and this is for us to use to figure out how to glorify you with that and come along and kind of be, as John Reinhart would say, that gospel patron. So it's comprehensive, but that is one piece of the generosity side as you think about it, and been a blessing to us.
I think generosity has been modeled to our family from the beginning. I mean, I remember my grandparents being in the hospital, and my grandfather would say, you know, your mom would give the shirt off her back if she could. And I looked over and she literally took the socks off of her own feet and put them on my grandmother's feet because her feet were cold and she's in the emergency room. And as a child, you remember those things, but then you think that is a simple way to show generosity, you know, or caring for others, and the shirt off her back. You know, I mean, I know my mom wouldn't have done that, but she would have if she could have, you know, that's just how she was. And so as a child, things that you're taught by your family, and maybe it's an aunt and uncle, it might even be people at church that have influence on you. It's like you have to take those things, and then you look back and you're like, that's important stuff, you know. And then the challenge for us as parents is then to teach that to our own children and model that to them, because that's how we originally were introduced to it. And so then as we're grandparents now, to take that to our granddaughters and just put it into action is very important, because it's very memorable. And I think that that's where children remember those things from a long time ago, and they're gonna know mom didn't really have another pair of socks to give. She gave the ones off her feet. And I think that that's been kind of ingrained in my memory, first thoughts of generosity. And I might add, with what Pat mentioned there about the checkbook, it was originally in our mind an opportunity to say, yes, we're participating in this giving from the farm, but not knowing what we didn't know, like we know today, it was a good first step. So I would encourage anyone to just get started on that first step. And it might be a baby step, and that's okay, because three baby steps make a step. And it's just a progression of choices and determination and mindfulness and the opportunity to be used of God. And they're not measured in dollars, they're measured in efforts. And I think that's important for all of us to remember, that what we've been given, we're responsible to give back. Again, the checkbook was a small token of that first step. And now we're very blessed to have great people that work with these kinds of things all day long that can give us instruction and give us wisdom on what we can do to take that next best step.
Yeah, I've definitely found that giving is one of those things you just get better at by doing. And if you wait until you have the perfect plan, it might be a long time before you feel like you're perfectly ready to do it right. And doing something gets you moving in the right direction a lot faster, in my own experience. And I like what you said about simplicity. When someone needs socks and you've got a pair of socks, there's a simplicity to that. And that's a beautiful expression of generosity. But obviously, as business owners, as things get more complex with assets, and I'm so appreciative of the people that can help in those situations and the different types of vehicles and strategies that can be used. But it is a lot more complexity than seeing a need. You've got something in your hands to meet that need, and you go ahead and meet that need as God calls. And I'm curious to hear how the two of you, as you've improved in your giving, how have you focused on where you give? Obviously, one of the important aspects of being a steward is not just the gift itself, but where that gift actually lands. So how have you thought through that together as a couple?
I think it starts with just things like this podcast. When you think about the trickle-down effect, it's like I was introduced to NCF, and then they have such a robust community around them of givers and kind of a whole neat piece of that. And so then I learn about your podcast through an email I get from them. And then I listen to your podcast and I hear how we were connected through Matt Letourneau and Never Thirst. And then that becomes a connection of where we can give. So it's really about a hunger to learn and grow and then kind of create this community around you. We just have that kind of neat experience, and you're kind of doing it with others that are, you know, have similar passions, and it's just encouraging each other. And so, you know, when we think about like, why would we be asked to be on a podcast? It's like, we're just doing normal stuff, you know, we're trying to figure out how to follow Christ in the best way we know how. And believe me, it's been a wrestle at times. We've tried to be, over the years, we've went from like nobody knowing anything about, you know, our generosity. Like we did it all just Janelle and I. And then you kind of get asked to do something, you wrestle with the whole left hand, right hand, you know, that verse. But when I hear others tell their story, it's so powerful for me and it's so encouraging. And I know that they are probably thinking the same way I do, not anything special. I'm just trying to tell my story. And so I think to summarize, it's like a community. And as we, you know, these dominoes of connection upon a connection, and then we see opportunities and then we begin to pray about them. And we, when we were talking about this ahead of time, we were saying, you know, it's kind of amazing sometimes how God will place similar things on our hearts. We'll each say a dollar amount individually, you know, and we'll kind of think of it like, what are you thinking? And what do you think, you know? And then most of the time we're not very far apart. It's kind of interesting.
I think one of the biggest things for our family is that we've tried to honor what God's given us to give back. And how do you choose amongst the million? I have no idea how many nonprofits there are, but we rely pretty heavily on NCF to vet some of those when we first started this process, because we didn't know what you don't know, right? You have to do the research. And as Pat was saying, you get connections that come from learning about this Never Thirst, for example, you know, and then you start digging into it and you're like, well, wow, they're doing wonderful things. What else? You know, like you start asking the questions and then you become invested, not just in the little bit of gifting that we've given financially, but then your heart is drawn towards what does that mean to give clean water to an area that women are walking 5 to 10 miles a day for a 5-gallon bucket of clean water. And then you start to think, well, that could be me. I could have been born there. I could have. But my responsibility then is to look back and say, how is Christ honored through that organization? Are they reaching people for Christ? Or what are they doing? And Never Thirst just is one example. But we just kind of felt like as a family, we needed to narrow down what we, you know, as our children grew older, we had family meetings, we call that. You know, there's 9 years between our oldest and our youngest. So things that our oldest are invested in or interested in would be different than the younger ones. So we would say, okay, what is it that is important to you? And that may be like helping a friend afford to go to church camp, all the way up to, we heard about this clinic that's being opened in the Dominican that my college friends are going to visit. And there's a lot of opportunity there to make a difference there. So you're trying to weigh out what's important to them. But then Pat and I have things, and we're a different generation, that are important to us as well. So we were lucky enough to have a family meeting and invited, our oldest was married at that time, and to bring them along, and opportunity to just have the NCF crew came and said, okay, each of you share what's important. And I'm going to give you a pack of post-it notes. And I think there's 100 ideas on here. And I want you to pick your top five. Where is it that you feel God is calling our business to support? And it may be in our county, it may be across the world. Nothing's off the table. And that was a really neat exercise. You think you know your children until you really know your children, because they were actually sharing with you what God's been working in their heart and things that were important to them. And we did that exercise with them. And it's kind of become the scaffolding or the legwork to what we do today with our kids, and where their emphasis is and where ours align really well. And sometimes there's things that they want to support on their own, and they'll come back and they'll say, hey, my friend is doing such and such. And you're like, okay, you have an account. Do you need more help with that? Or, you know, is there more to the story than what you're telling us? So it's been really good to have more conversations about things that are important to them. And I don't know if Pat wants to give some more about that.
We did that. We just had like, I don't know, there's like 50 different potential areas. And then you put post-it notes around the ones that you were passionate about. And then we just summarized that. You know, of course, my analytical mind, I said, okay, well, let's build a spreadsheet. And then we come out and we like summarize and say, okay, here's the percentages and here's the top five. And here's the areas that we kind of coalesced around. And so then that gives us our direction. So some strategy to how we're doing it. And then we give them certain areas, then areas that they were passionate about, each one of them, and said, hey, if you're finding good ministries that are doing great work in these areas, and then we'll come back. And we've used various methods. We've used different tools that help vet those things. And so that's obviously a whole journey in itself of making sure that these ministries are doing the work, and you do some legwork behind it. It takes a lot of time, and it's obviously fun for us. That's how we've done it together as a family. So I tried to integrate them into that. Janelle referred to each one of them has an account. So we have sub accounts. They each have a donor advised fund, and two of the four of our children, including our daughter-in-law, Becca, are working on the farming business. And so they're actually part of generating, you know, the income. And so they're invested. And in addition to the two that aren't, you know, they're going off and doing other things, but they're very invested too. It's fun to see that as well. We have Colleen as our second child. And then so Phil and Colleen, our oldest two, are in the business. And then we have Mallory as an RN, and she's studying her master's. So she's in school. And then we have our youngest is graduating this spring and an education degree. So, and she was married last summer. And so we're just trying to bring them all into that process and help them be able to speak into it as well.
Man, there's so many good things in there that I would love to flesh out. You mentioned a little while back, Pat, a couple points that I just wanted to highlight. One is something that I call spiritual templating. I think you described it really well, though, which is when you're trying to grow in generosity, being exposed to lots of stories of people doing it. And it sounds like that's been a big part of your story, and even exactly what you guys are doing right now in sharing your story is going to be that for somebody else. And I just love that that is how God grows the body in discipleship and in spiritual growth is through, you know, templating our own lives after others who are doing it or have figured things out. And it sounds like that's been a big part of your life. And also you mentioned, I think, something very key, which is relationships. And obviously that's been a big part for you guys starting with NCF, but then sounds like has grown significantly from there to all kinds of people and connections and stuff. And I think that's one of the most fun parts of generosity is how it just pulls you into community like that. People moving in a direction that is outward focused. And it's just an incredible unifying force that, you know, gets people excited, gets people moving, and gets people filled with purpose and helps us to grow, you know, and being able to just talk things through, bounce off ideas and stuff like that. So I'm really glad that you mentioned those things. So you mentioned something that was cool and that we've heard a number of times, which is as you've each kind of independently been exploring where to give, how much to give, or things like that at different points, how God often align you independently and then you come together and see how he's kind of moving in that direction. I think that there's a huge benefit to walking in generosity with a spouse or somebody who's, you know, very close to you like that for that exact reason. And I've seen that in my own life that when my wife and I both get kind of that same calling independently, then we're like, there is no other explanation for this than we are getting a pretty specific instruction right now. And it's going to be hard to say no to that. But I'd love to hear you guys just flesh out a little bit more some of that dynamic of how working side by side, trying to hear God's call together has strengthened you guys as givers. And even if there's stories that come to mind of how you've seen him work through marriage in generosity.
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind is that I don't ever want to take for granted that God has knit our hearts together in the area of generosity, because that may not be everyone's story, right? So I feel blessed for us to be able to have that common bond of trying to figure out what God is saying and then try to do our best to live it out. But it's seeking him, seeking what God has for us and thinking through it and trying to be obedient. And I don't know. I don't have some like cool light shone down and God opened the heavens and said, this is like how it's supposed to, you know, I don't know. I think he speaks to us in a still small voice and just comes alongside of us. And we do talk about a lot of these things. So we're socializing it between each other about things we like and red flags that we see. You know, it's like we love organizations that are collaborative. If somebody's trying to create or build a silo, that's very, very red flag for us. Some of these, you know, that we work with, you know, I think of Life Song for Orphans is one that we are passionate about in this space. And you think like, I love their collaborative nature and how they look at it. It's like, this is just something for the kingdom, and which just hit me. I think Gary was on your podcast here recently, and but yeah, I'll stop talking. I'll let you know.
I think the interesting thing is that we each have passions, right? There's things that Pat's passionate about that are different than myself. Not that I'm not as passionate. I'm just not as passionate. And so I think when he brings something to the conversation, he'll say, have you thought about, or what do you think about, what do you know about this, this, or this? And so I'll do the same with him. And that's kind of a little bit of the vetting back and forth. And we kind of do some digging into it. But the bigger picture is his passion of giving and my passion, our focuses may be different. So he's very interested in Bible translation or missionary work, things like that. That's not that I'm not as passionate as him in those things, but I might be more passionate in community, or how do we take care of our team? How do we take care of different parts of our community, whatever that may be? Because as a farm who have people here, you know, coming and going every day, we want the place where they're coming and going, their community, to be cared for. And so They're living here, they're working here, they're playing here. How do we take some of what we've been given to invest back into the community? So it's not that some of the things that I am more passionate about than Pat are more important. It's just an opportunity to listen to each other and then support each other. And have you thought about, again, it's more the domino effect, because different things have come across our journey because of the opportunities that we've been given just in those conversations. And then who we share those visions and pie in the sky ideas with outside of the two of us could trigger another idea that the one of us hasn't even thought about. So I would have to say that it's a lot of our conversations are wrapped around, is it Christ-centered, first of all? And how is it going to bring people to Christ or keep Satan at bay? That's not something we're going to be able to do, obviously, but is there something that's supporting that? And I think that, you know, as a farm, what we do every day is make food, right? So how do we help others who are not in our area? It might be on the other side of the world, but how do we invest in some of those organizations that are trying to teach people how to raise food? Or locally, you know, like, how do we help our community who has struggled, like a lot of communities, right, in the last 5 years, but even longer in our area? How do we take what God's given us to help make an impact here as well? So it's an interesting question, because I think we bounce a lot of things off of each other, but we also use other people to do that as well.
Yeah, I think I've also learned, just like you're talking about, that relationships are dynamic, and how you make decisions together, how you communicate, you learn how to do that better over time. And just this past week, I felt like God was putting something on my heart, and I was almost a little hesitant to mention it to my wife because I didn't know how she was going to respond. I didn't want to get shot down. And so I just thought I'd float the idea past her in a very broad way. And I said, where do you want to focus this year in our giving? And she responded with the exact thing that God had placed on my heart. And it was such a confirmation. And that was not how it started out when we were first talking about generosity. And, you know, what does this look like? We were pretty far apart in what we thought and how that would look. And I'm excited to keep growing in that as the two of you have over time. And it is really cool how that happens more and more frequently, how you're on the same page as you really explore not just what to do with this money, but what has God placed on our hearts? What's important to him? Mm-hmm. And how does he want to use us in that story? But as you've grown together in generosity and found ways to incorporate that into the work that you do, how has that shaped some of the decisions that you've made around the farming business, around how to grow, how to bring your children into it? Can you just talk a little bit about how that has shaped the way that you make decisions?
Well, I think, as we've kind of alluded to, we look at our business as a giving engine to do good. That's kind of the premise that we start off with. And I think, you know, we've had the opportunity in this kind of community of givers. You know, I think about, like, over the last several years, I've had different conversations, like, with Alan Barnhart. And so, like, Alan's, like, obviously very inspiring to me and Janelle and his wife, Catherine. And, you know, it's just, there's different things that he's challenged me with. One time we were talking and he had happened to stop into the farm, and he was like, hey, how are you growing your business? Are you growing? How can you make this thing bigger? You know? And so I was like, that's interesting. You know, sometimes I think we think about, like, okay, well, I just need to just funnel everything that we do right back into giving, you know, and as much as you can. But then he was like, you know, you need to grow this thing, because when you grow it, then that impacts the community. It allows you the opportunity to give even more. So you have to know your why, right? You can't just be running around and, like, figuring out how to consume what you're, you know, on yourselves. And so I think that whole verse of where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so we keep trying to move our treasure from trying. We do move our treasure from land and animals to God's kingdom, and that continues. And we obviously we have a huge passion for farming and caring for animals and all that goes with that, and all the biblical examples that happen. And you know, we get to watch that all come to life every year and every month. But at the same time, we don't want to get too caught up that that's where we focus at and we build our identity around just that, because we want our identity to be in Christ. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic, and a lot of it just comes down to why. What's your why and how are you doing it? And so we've been going through a fair amount of growth over the last year or so. So like everybody else, just you try to survive the pandemic and keep the wheels, you know, on the bus, so to speak, with everything that you have going, coming at you as a business. And then we've kind of come out of that. And so we've kind of strategically had opportunities come to us, and we're like, okay, how do we manage these things and how do we do it so that we can honor him with what we're doing? And so that's, I think, informs how we look at things, and how we incorporate that generosity into our daily lives and how we make decisions in the business.
I think one of the things that I learned really stuck with me after reading the book Gospel Patrons was the reality that God does need people who farm, people who have a business, whatever that might be, to support those who are doing the hands and feet that we can't do on the other side of the world. And just the opportunity that was given to just convert the scriptures into English. If you think about where would we be today if that hadn't been funded well? So let's take that to today's day and age. What is it that we can give that we've been given to give back to others who are doing the work that's going to be helping the next generation and the next generation? How do we take what we've been given to further his kingdom? And I think that to me spoke to my heart. Not all of us are called to go into Africa, but we are all called to give what we've been given and to multiply what's been given to us and to use that for furthering his kingdom, however that looks. So I think that when we look back at our business, we try really hard to give accordingly, and we try to model that to our team. And I think one of the things that we've really struggled with in the last 5 or 10 years is being open and honest with our team about how that is given. They don't always know what our family is supporting because we've just not shared that. And we've been challenged by many to rethink that because, as you mentioned earlier, stories are so important. And we may not remember word for word something that we've read in a book, but I can guarantee you're going to remember something about a story. And how do we choose to use our lives as part of that story for influence in others is being open and willing to do that. And so for Pat and I, that's been a little bit of our journey recently, is just we've always been pretty private about that. But I think God is just really placed on our hearts that it's time to share stories and it's time to share our why. And, you know, I think that that also trickles down to your family as well, because they need to know how your family has used what you've been given, no matter what you're doing. You know, I look back and I think that, you know, when Pat and I first married, we had basically nothing. I mean, we had parents and grandparents that supported us along the way, but it's just a different situation today. And then how do you help the children and your grandchildren realize that they need to be good stewards too? And that does include generosity. And that doesn't just include finances. That includes your time. And that includes relationships, resources, talents, what God's given you. So it's an open decision. You have to make that individually.
Yeah, I think you hit some really important points there. And I think some of what you're talking about is actually a major struggle for a lot of people who God has called into generosity, is this dynamic of, you know, I think you mentioned earlier that verse, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, right? How do I give generously, humbly, not trying to seek attention? You know, there's definitely a pull to want to keep things private and not share your story out of concern for wanting to do things the right way. And that's part of the Sermon on the Mount, I think, And we were talking about this actually with Randy Alcorn. He said, in that same sermon, Jesus also says, let your light shine before others so that they may give glory to God. And it's exactly through our stories that God is glorified. And you guys have mentioned that, even like just hearing the Barnharts, how their story has affected you guys and how you guys approach business and family and legacy, all these different things. It's through those stories that God is glorified. And so, you know, we're grateful for the stories that are out there and for those that do share them. For one, we wouldn't have a podcast if they didn't. But it's exactly because it inspires others to keep moving and keep stretching and keep growing. As you guys are kind of talking through, you know, family has been a huge part of this process for you guys on both ends, coming from above and then now passing down to below. How do you guys think through the process of wealth transfer or, you know, legacy and transfer to the next generation over time, whenever that may be? I don't know how you guys kind of approach that in the context of, you know, large business and just lots of different considerations. And obviously with generosity being a core part of your family values as well. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that matter.
Yeah, we do, because we're just thinking ahead. And, you know, you've heard a little bit about what we do as far as including our family in our giving process. We thought about the transfer, and we work with a Christian financial planner through Ron Blue Trust, and they've been instrumental in helping us through not only the financial side, but the culture. You know, they've been great at like pushing on us. You don't want to transfer wealth without wisdom. And how do you work on a methodical process for wisdom and culture and all those things that prepare that next generation for the responsibility that they have? And so it's been a neat journey. We've been on that probably maybe 8 years now, just us at our generation's level, and thinking about, of course, we've done quite a bit of, you know, the blocking and tackling of setting up trusts and all those things. But we also have done intentional get-togethers in the summer and with our family, and then we would, you know, have a topic, and we would make sure that we were creating intentional time to have these discussions and talk about it. We've set mission and vision and core values, obviously for our business, which we've had for a long time, but we did that with our family, which was kind of a neat process, you know, or not kind of, it was a very neat process to be able to us to work together and create the family, because that's been kind of the core of that. And how do we create that and then use that as a guidepost for how we are going to live and how we're going to transfer? So that's how we've been thinking about that transfer of not only financial side, but in the succession planning and training in the business and wisdom and all those things. So
I think a piece of that has been the intentionality. It's very hard sometimes to stop your day to day to take time to talk about what does that look like for the next generation, and how do you pass that culture down? How do you share with them what your desires are so they're aware? And it's just being purposeful and intentional in making the time to get that on the calendar and to just set that time aside. And I think that looking back on some of the conversations that we've had with our children, that time has been somewhat eye-opening to us. I mean, they're our children. We think we know them. But also it's the freedom for them to share with us what they see and what they feel is important. And at our age, and trying to work through some of the estate planning, and those are conversations that sometimes you think, oh, I'm not old enough to have that conversation. Well, in reality, we needed someone to help us think those things through and think through what does that look like after Pat and Janelle aren't here anymore? You know, what does that look like for your children? And, you know, that mission, vision, core values, our daughter-in-law put it on a card, and every one of our kids has that card with them. So there's never a doubt to make a decision someday. Well, this is what was important to our family then. It's still important to our family now. And I guess if I could encourage anyone, is just to make the time to do that. We all get into the day-to-day rut of 10 deadlines or 10 tasks we need to do, or I only got one done. I have 9 more to do and I got to catch up the 10 the next day. But if you can be purposeful and set that time aside to just have those conversations. I mean, for us as a family, because the farm is here where we live, right? So for us, we purposefully take time to go to an offsite location to have those conversations. And when you own your business, your phone is with you all the time. So we try to set the phone aside. And as the older two have become obviously very involved in the farm, it's harder to take those phones and set them aside. But it's so important that you do make that time to get away and have open conversation and respect one another's opinions about it. And just being open and willing to just listen first, you know, think it through. And then how can we do what we do every day is best for everyone? And I think that that's been really important. Pat, if you want to share a little bit about the board in this conversation here.
Yeah, so we also have an advisory board that we've set up with a couple of outside directors. And then it's also includes the four of us, Chanel and I and Phil and Colleen. And then we have our executive team. And so that has been really good because that creates also, we want well-respected advisors pouring into us as well. And we intentionally seek out very well-respected business people, but also that have a faith perspective and understand our mission and how we're trying to use our business for ministry. And so that's been a neat process as well. And then they've been able to pour into the life of Phil and Colleen, especially on the business side. So they've been like mentors for them, or they've connected them to mentors that they know in their circles. And so we want to be impactful on our children, but we need others that obviously have different gifts and abilities pouring into them as well. So that's been a good process as well. We meet roughly quarterly and try to strategically look at the business. We'll do all the normal board stuff. And then we also share, Janelle pulls together our giving and we try to share some of those things so that they're reporting out like in some level of accountability for what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm very struck by how much you've thought through this question or this category of questions of how to transfer not just possessions, but wisdom along with that, and to get other people involved in that that you trust at a very deep level. I think there's a lot of wisdom to that, but the focus that you place on it, and I'm sure this process that you've built out of gathering together and coming up with a mission and a vision and being able to communicate that clearly, that doesn't happen in one session. That doesn't happen overnight. That is built over time. And I'm feeling challenged to sit with my wife and say, what does that look like for us right now? And then let's look at it again and see what changes as time goes on and what stays the same, and just see how God is constant, but also is still communicating with us. And it's mm-hmm. really cool to see how that has played out in your lives and how that wisdom transfer, you're doing that proactively so that your kids, your grandkids, their kids don't have to wonder what was important to you. It's right there. It's mm-hmm. ingrained in their hearts as well. I'm just really, really struck by that. Could you each share just what you're most excited about when you think about the next 5 or 10 years?
Sure. My focus has been, you know, in the last 5 or 10 years has been taking care of our community because I feel that's an important piece of who we are. We can't just pick up our farm and move it, right? So we're here. And how can we make a positive difference here where we are? So, you know, I've spent some time on some different community boards and currently I'm serving on a few, but I see myself as being a connector to different entities here that are going to make a difference here. And they might not all have the focus of being Christ-centered first, but that is woven through the organization. And I hope in the next 5 to 10 years that God continues to use me, and it might just not always be finances, but again, back to your time and your talent, how can he use who he's made me to be used of him to influence and connect? Because nothing happens by one person. I often say at the farm, it's the wheels. If you have one shorter spoke, what do you have? You have a thud, 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 thud when the wheel goes, right? So how do we keep our spokes all working together to make that wheel turn smoothly? And in the community, that's just not one business or one organization or one government group. It's all of us working together. As Pat alluded to earlier, it's part of being collaborative and all of us working for what's the best of what we have and here and how we can help the people that are in our community. So personally for me, I'm hoping that God uses me to continue in that manner. One of the organizations that we have not talked about yet is called LifeWise Academy. And it's an opportunity for us to work with children in public school setting and teach them about Christ and teach them about what he's done, but also to teach them a character word each week that they can put into action. And if that's generosity, that's one of them. If it's gratitude, whatever that Bible story and that word are, or what that word is for the week, how can we use that opportunity to reach the young generation, you know, first through fifth graders in our county? We have six county schools. So how do we, as a farm, as a giving engine, how do we support those organizations that are trying to make a difference, not just with the people who live here, but those are children who we hope someday will stay in our rural area here, but they'll then have introduced to Christ through LifeWise Academy. So I hope that God continues to use me in that manner. And it's fun for me. I didn't teach many years, but to be able to teach again, it's been rewarding to be able to be used that way. And I miss the little light bulbs going off when they learn something or they remember something from week to week. It's been fun to see that again, but there's a need for that. There's a lot of children who are not in church, and one reason or another, they're not there. So how can we reach that generation now with some truth and teaching them what truth is and where it comes from, what Christ has done for them? And they're hungry and they're little sponges and they do learn more than you think they do, and they are listening. So that's been fun.
Yep. And so you see Janelle's passion coming out, and it's kind of neat to see. She talked about it earlier. So my desire over the next 10 years, you know, you think about, like, I'm going to be 55 this summer, and 10 years I'm going to be 65. And so that sounds really old, but the older that number, or higher that number gets, the younger it seems. So as we think about it, I want to do a good job of handing off the leadership to the next generation. And that's that's one of my goals. And then one other goal is that I want to be able to make an impact on, you know, other kingdom-minded things around the world. So I have, just as Janelle, and I'm passionate about the community too, so don't get me wrong. I mean, I love our communities and the communities that we operate in, and I love being a part of them and doing what we can to support local things. And obviously LifeWise, very passionate about that as a tool to teach the next generation about Christ in public schools. But we're also excited about, like, how can I use what gifts God's given me, and kind of that whole halftime book from Bob Buford, and how do we take the gifts that we've been given and taught and use them for him in this next season? So that's what I'm looking for.
Well, guys, as we get to the end of the episode here, we like to leave some time for our manager's minute. Just like to leave everybody with a practical action they can take to step into their roles as stewards and manage God's wealth wisely. So Pat and Janelle, do you have a suggestion for our listeners today?
So we've shared with you earlier how important it was that we felt to start continuing to share with our team where our giving is going. We would, as a farm, support Relay for Life, or we would do a pork loin lunch fundraiser, and those funds would go back into the community. But we've really took a step back and said, how do we communicate that with our team? And we've sought some advice on how to take some things that roll around in your head and put it on paper. And so we've had this organization, or this part of our farm, called Horde Cares, and it's some giving that our team members have given, but also our family. So we tend to choose one organization locally and our team would support it, whether that be a fundraiser or whether that would just be of time given, cleaning the ditches of trash. You know, there's different things that we've done, but we feel it's very important for our team to understand that we are going to take care of them first, and then we are going to funnel that down to our community, and then we're going to funnel that down to the world. And we've just really started a push on this in the last year, that each of us have been given gifts, and we are faithful stewards of that. And so we've identified, how is it that we are going to take care of our team, and how is it we're going to take care of our community, and then how is it we're going to make an impact in the world. And one of the interesting things that has come of this is that if you don't take care of the people you're around each and every day, but yet you're taking care of people on the other side of the world, what is your influence? Your team needs to know that you're going to take care of them. You're going to take care of their families. You're going to take care of things that are important to them. And we've really tried to focus on a few organizations, one of those being Marketplace Chaplains, where we have a wonderful chaplain that will go to each of the farms every week, every other week. And she just is part of what they're doing every day. She's in the barn with them. She's in the shop with them. She's in the feed mill with them. She's in the office with them. But she's checking in on them and asking, how are you doing? Is there anything that you want to talk about? Is there anything you want to pray about? Is there anything I can pray for you about? And the stories that are shared with her of concerns, and a lot of it is spiritual questions. But those questions they ask her, they're not going to ask us, because we're their employers, right? So for us, that's been really important, is to try to work with organizations that are going to support our team. So we also offer Financial Peace University. We are starting a relationship with Helping Hands, where if a team member has a need, they can apply for financial assistance. Now, of course, there's a little application in place, and they're there to help us with some of the budgeting that might be required of that. But we're offering that to our team. We're coming around our team and showing them that we as a family care about them. And a lot of times you focus on pay, or you focus on benefits, or you focus on things that are expected versus what is outside of that. So for instance, if there's a spiritual need, how can we meet them where they're at? And Financial Peace also attributes to that too. And it's just been really good to have a focus on, how can we help with adoption? How can we help with further education? How can we provide opportunities for improving your marriage or relationships with your children? Those are things that are everyday things that all of us come to work with, those things on our minds, but how do we not just leave them at the door, but how do we help them where they're at with those things? So we've also taken a focus on our community, and just, how do we become a good partner here? How do we care for and serve our community? How do we give back in acts of service? How do we as a farm make an influence or a difference in those organizations that are nonprofits that are giving of their time and talent and treasures too? So again, it's that collaboration or that partnership. And it's been good, not just for our community, but I think it's been good for our team to know how they can give back. And they might not have thought about how they can give of their time to not just be a softball coach or a t-ball coach or a basketball coach. Those are very important. But then how can they bring the culture that we have at the farm through them to our community? And then lastly, what can we do to continue to help families in need across the world? And, you know, Neverthirst was mentioned earlier, but orphan care is important to us. And obviously those organizations that are providing evangelical opportunities. And for our farm, it's also important that we work alongside others that are sustainable and making an influence in their part of the world. And so how can we come alongside and partner with them? So Horde Cares has been very important, not just for our family to provide opportunities, but vice versa. I think it's been good for our team members to have that opportunity to know that they can give back as well. And how can we work on it together? And we have a Horde Cares Council that we've recently started. That's a member from different parts of the farm that we have met more often at first getting this going. But how do we now sustain this, and how do we help our team continue to care for one another? And they're in different parts of the farm. I'm not at every day, or Pat's not every day, or our son is not, daughter. They're just in different parts and hearing different conversations that we may not be exposed to. So the council gives them a chance to come back and tell us what they're hearing, but also provide us with opportunity to think about continued care of our team and things that are important to them.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, Janelle. I think it's important to consider the things that God places on your heart, but also the people around you. And if you're given time, talent, and treasure, how do you use and steward all of those things to not support one group at the expense of another, but how do you incorporate all of it into everything that you do? And it sounds like you found a way through Horde Cares and just who you are as people and what you choose to do or not to do, to care for those people who are around you, whether they're related to you or working alongside you or just in your community, but also to become aware of a need, to become sensitive to a need on the other side of the world and say, hey, God's calling us to help there as well. I think that's a really beautiful picture of kind of incorporating generosity into how you live and the things that you choose to do. But we're just so grateful that the two of you would spend some time with us today and share your story and just a glimpse at what you've been up to. Just really excited about the model that you're laying out and the legacy that you're passing on through Horde Cares, but also through sharing your story, just like you did today. So thank you again so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for giving us an opportunity. So it's been great to talk to you guys.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to the show, guys. If you want to find any of our references or links from today's show, you can always find them in our show notes at finishlinepledge.com/episode96. Before we finish up, I have a quick question for you. Have you ever stopped to answer the question, how much is enough? A financial finish line is designed to help you do just that. Our 90-day finish line pledge breaks down the process into three easy steps. Step one, define how much is enough for your family to spend in a single month and use that as your monthly spending budget for 90 days. Step two, as God provides money to manage, set aside any margin outside of your finish line into a separate bank account. Step three, after 90 days, explore the million ways you can use that margin you've set aside to create joy, purpose, and impact in God's kingdom. Want to learn more? Check out our website at finishlinepledge.com. That's all we have for today. We'll see you next time.